Good morning, Believers Church. I think we're on like week three of this online adventure. I must admit, it's still weird, but we're getting used to it, and hopefully we're getting better at it. We learn something each week as we do this. But before we go any further, I want to look right at the camera and kind of look right at you and just let you know that I miss you. I miss seeing your faces. I miss interacting with you. It's just different when we gather here together. But you know what? I still think we're going to come out of this strong. We're going to come out of this better than ever before. And I really just can't wait to see what God's going to do and how he's going to show off in our country, in our city, and even within our church. If you're visiting, kind of catching us after watching another service from another church, welcome. It's our honor to have you here. And we hope you enjoyed the service so far. You know, today we celebrate Palm Sunday. And it's the start of what is traditionally called Holy Week. You know, it's when Jesus showed up in Jerusalem. We're going to finish our series that we're in called Faith, Hope, and Love. And what a great day, I think, to talk about love. To talk about the thing that I really believe was motivating Jesus, was his love for you and me. We're going to look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 13:13 that's really what we're building this series around. And it says three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And then it says, then the greatest of these things is love. You know, I was talking with Pastor Jay the other day at First Christian, and he and I were talking about the condition of the church right now as now we've faced kind of the shelter in place and what it would look like and what the church is going to look like. And we both just were excited to know that now more than ever, the church needed to step up. The church, capital C, needed to step up and show people love and give them hope, to let them know that there is a good outcome to this, that we're going to come out of this, that life is going to go forward. God is still on the throne. Now more than ever, we need to know that. Somebody connected to you needs to know that there is hope. This is not a death sentence. This is not the end of humanity, but that there is hope for us. You know, now again, even today, this morning as I was thinking about it, now more than ever, somebody needs to know that this virus is not in control. It may look like it's dictating life now, but the Bible says clearly that God is in control, that this virus has not diminished God's love for us or even his pursuit of us. I want to look again at 1 Corinthians 13:13, but I'm going to read it out of the Message paraphrase version because I love the way this reads. And it says, but for right now, in other words, some of you are stuck at home with kids right now. I know my wife Melanie has told me many times, it's different. When they're not in school and you're stuck with them all day, we love them dearly, but it's different. So, but for right now, and he says, until that completeness, until we have that completeness, we have these three things to lead us toward the end. Remember, it's not the end. God is still in control. That we trust steadily in God. We have our faith in God. We hope unswervingly. And I love the way this one talks about love. And it says that we love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. You know, the word extravagantly, this adverb means lack of restraint of resources. It means to be excessive or elaborate, to be big, to a large degree, to do things big, with extreme feeling, maximum capacity. So why is love the best or the greatest? Why is it that way? Well, faith gives way to sight, because the Bible says that we by faith can't see things clearly now. We don't maybe all understand it, Lord, but we believe God. That gives way to sight, to us one day seeing God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:12 in the first part, it says, now we see things imperfectly, like a puzzle. It's kind of jumbled. We can kind of make it out. But then, and the then is when we get to go be with Jesus, when we're in eternity, when Jesus comes after those who have received him as their Savior. It says we will see everything with perfect clarity. then you have hope. Hope is the thing that turns into experience. Faith turns into sight because now the thing we had faith in heaven, we now see. Hope turns into experience as we experience God taking care of business. See, the reason we have hope in this virus thing is because when we look to the end, we're not looking as we just maybe get out of it. We're looking at the hope of Christ because he's in control. And I've said this week after week, and I'll say it again, the church is going to come out of this stronger than ever before. Last week, again, several online platforms for churches broke. We crashed the internet again because there's more people than ever now looking for hope. Well, that hope will one day turn into an experience that I can look back on and go, this was my experience. There's places in my life where I can look at you right now and tell you that my experience as I walked through things came from the hope I had and how God was going to get me through it. Some very dark times in even my own life, hope turned into experience. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, the second half of the verse, it says, all I know is partial and incomplete. Really, if that in our situation now with this virus, we really don't even know partial because what we know today changes tomorrow. But he goes on to say, then when I get to see Jesus face to face, I will know everything completely. I will get to look my Savior in the eyes. If you're a member of Believer's Church and you've been here or visited with us before, you've heard me say, I still think when we get to heaven, a lot of us say, well, I want to ask God about this. I want to ask God, why did you give us gnats in South Georgia? Why mosquitoes? What function in life are mosquitoes? Those gosh-awful gnats that tear us to pieces. What good are those? Or I want to ask Peter this, or I want to ask John the Baptist this. You see, I don't think we're going to do that. I think our faith and our hope, are we're going to look at Jesus and we're going to go, oh, I get it now. Because what we're going to be looking at is the third thing, and that third thing is love. You see, the reason love is special is that God is love, and God is eternal. Therefore, love is eternal. Because God is eternal, love never ends. When we get to heaven, we don't need faith anymore because we're seeing it face to face. When we get to heaven, we're looking at hope. We don't need hope. He's worked it out to get us there. But the Bible says of love that love never ends. And again, what a time to celebrate, to think about Holy Week as we talk about Palm Sunday today. And we begin to really think about what Christ has done for us. You see, the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, but anyone who does not love doesn't know God because God is love. And you see, I think for most of us, if you're like me, you think you understand love. I think I understand love. But the truth of the matter is, all we're doing is comparing our understanding to what we think God's love is. Our understanding to Him being love. See, God doesn't have love. He is love. You know, this summer will be 21 years for Melanie and I. We'll be married 21 years. And for those who have been in Believers for a while, you've heard me tell this story over and over because it was an answer to prayer for me that I feel like I have the love at first sight story. I prayed and asked God for weeks on end. I was fed up with worrying about getting married. And into one of my classes when I was getting my master's at ORU, in walks Melanie. And I can't say God spoke out loud, but he certainly spoke in here because I heard him say, there she is, she's the one. I had that moment. I pray maybe if that's what you're looking for, you have it, and it's not normal. I realize that. Then after I went and introduced myself and got to meet her, I was convinced all my life that I was going to marry a good Georgia Southern girl, a good Georgia peach. And then to come to find out she was born and raised and lived in California was not what I was thinking. But it didn't change me. I was in love. I would have told you, yes, I know what love is. Yes, I can describe the love of God because I have found that. But I've realized over the years that it's nothing. As much as I love my wife, as much as I would now step in front of a moving semi-truck to save her life, take a bullet for her, do anything I needed to do for her well-being, I still don't think we can get the love of God and what he has for us. This eternal thing, this desire to link us back together because he wanted to spend eternity with me and you, not just several months. I know some of you probably feel like now you're in your home with your kids and family, and even the dog is getting annoyed. It's just not working. But God said, I so love you that I'm going beyond those things. See, the Bible even says of our love, though, in 1 John 4:17, it says, as we live in God, our love grows perfect. Why? Because you're hanging out with the very definition of love. You're hanging out with love. We get better at it. You and I get better at it because we spend time with him. Not just because you may be smart or you may have figured out something, but as you hang out with God, I truly believe it teaches us to love people better, to love our wives better, our family better, and sometimes even to love the people that we don't want to love, the people that you wish would not be in your life. Maybe those are the people you're glad are quarantined and they can't get to you now. But we learn to love them because God so loved them. You need to know this about God's love for us. As we look forward to celebrating next Sunday, Easter, I know it's going to be different. I know we're not going to be here together. You're not going to be dressed in your finest. This year, I don't have to wear a tie. Why? Because you're not here. I'm not wearing a tie. It's one of the few Sundays a year I let Melanie pick a tie and I wear it. I hate ties. I don't wear ties. And I know it's going to be different, but you need to know this as we celebrate. And as today on Palm Sunday, we think about what Jesus was doing. He was going into Jerusalem and he knew what he was facing. He knew people would betray him. He knew what was coming. But everything he did, all of it was motivated by love. He was betrayed. He was deserted. Those who said they would never leave him, left him. They swore, Jesus, I will always be by your side. They all bolted. He was cursed. He was beaten. Really, saying he was beaten does not do it justice. He was tortured. One of the most brutal things humanity has ever seen. All of it motivated by love. And here's what I really believe. This is just how I envision that week for Jesus. You see, I think he looked down through eternity from when Jesus walked the earth. And the Bible says he is God, and God is the beginning and the ends, and he can see down through time. I think he was looking through time to this Sunday morning at me and at you, knowing that we were going to mess up, knowing we were going to choose not to listen, knowing we were going to be ungrateful, yet he rode into town anyway. At any moment, he could have taken a veer one way to another. He could have taken that donkey and said, no, I'm going somewhere else. Y'all are on your own. But he didn't. You need to know this. And you need to know this about God's love, that his love is perfect. He loves perfectly. You see, he did it knowing the disciples would betray him, knowing that we would turn on him, knowing that you and I would be far from perfect. He rode into town anyway, knowing that you would make a mistake, that I would make mistakes that would alter the course of my life, turning away from God. Yet he loves me so perfectly, he rode into town anyway. You see, Romans 5:8 says that, but God showed this great love, this perfect love for us. Why? Because he sent Jesus knowing we were going to blow it. He sent Jesus knowing we were still going to be sinners, that we still would refuse to receive him. He sent Jesus knowing people in his own hometown were going to turn away and say, you're just that carpenter. You're not the Son of God. He loved perfectly, and that perfect love allowed him to ride through our faults, to run over and look over the mess that we carry. You see, the next thing is his love is perfect, but his love He also loves us powerfully. You see, his love is the very thing that gave us eternity with him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:14 that by his power, God raised Jesus from the dead. And that same power is what he puts in us. See, his love is so powerful today that it is the very thing that causes you to be able to spend eternity with him, to have hope, to walk through this virus and this quarantining and all this mess and know what's on the other end is a Savior who loves you perfectly. And the power of his action, the power, the Bible literally says, his blood covered our sins, our health, and our sickness, and brought it all to where it needed to be for us once and for all, because it has power. There's other places in the Bible that actually says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Because he asked him to? No. Because his love has power. It's powerful for us. It impacts our lives. That's why even some of you right now, if you don't, those who don't know God, you feel your heart thumping. See, that's God. It's perfect love, but it's also powerful. And the greatest thing, and this is what we opened with, he loves us permanently. You see, this is where a lot of you struggle. This is where even at times before I met Melanie, I struggled. Because I'm somebody who wants people to like me. I want you to think good of me. I want life to be good. But the problem with humans is we're on one day, we're off the next. Even as much as I love my wife and love my kids, there are times when I don't treat them or talk to them or react to them the way I should. We turn love off and on. Or maybe up and down is a better way to look at it. Today, I really love Melanie because she's really being nice to me and I'm in a good mood. And tomorrow, I still love her, but not quite as much. See, that's not permanent love. It wavers. But God himself, the Bible says, will never leave us nor forsake us. His love is perfect. The Bible says this, and I'm going to read Romans 8:35, then I'm going to skip down a little bit. But in Romans 8:35, Paul's writing and says, can anything, and he asks this question, is there anything that can separate you from the love of Christ? And the answer is no. You can't sin enough. There's nothing you can do that will cause God to stop loving you, even if you've never met him. Even if you've told Jesus to take a flying leap, and I know people who have. They got to a dark place in life and they told God, leave me alone, go away. I truly believe God stands right there and waits. His love for us is perfect. His love for us is powerful, and his love for us is permanent. It's not coming off. He's not going away. He's not affected by a mood or how his day went. We are. And you can't sin enough to get away from God. You need to know that there's someone that loves you beyond your faults. The thing that brings me peace is there's somebody that loves me beyond my secrets. Even I, as a pastor, have things I don't like to tell people. Faults I have. You have them too. Those things, those parts of your life that nobody is in. It's like that room that your grandmother has that has all the plastic on the furniture. It's there and we can look at it, but nobody touches it. Nobody really knows what's underneath. Well, if you go into that room, then there's a closet in that room that's closed and nobody ever looks in there. You see, there's somebody that loves you and they know the junk you're carrying, the hurt you're carrying from maybe a previous relationship, the hurt you're carrying from maybe abuse, whatever it may be, the hurt you're carrying from decisions you make of your own accord. You brought it on yourself and you know that, and guilt is all over you. The Bible says the love walks right through that. I believe he rides, just as he rode into Jerusalem, right towards you. It doesn't faze him. It doesn't knock him off. You need to quit letting the devil convince you that you're unlovable. Somebody right now is sitting there feeling, God, I'm unlovable. You don't know where I've been, Clint. You're right, I don't. But he does, and he doesn't care. He'll deal with that at a later time. his first thing is to ride into the town of your life and intersect your life so that love, you can experience it, the power, the perfectness, and the permanence that he's in your life and he's not going anywhere. The power of his love, the love that brought Jesus out of the grave. You know, when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that people were screaming, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Literally translated, that means save us. Save now is really what it means. They were screaming, "Save me now, right where I am." They weren't worried about the mess around them. They weren't worried about the problems of their life. They just said, "God, save me now." That's my prayer for you today, is as Jesus rides into town, as you open the doors and let him ride right into your life, because he doesn't care. His love is coming over any mess you may have, any hurt you may have. The Bible says he comes right in. Now, before I end, I never end without asking, is it time? Is today? Why not today? You see, in this time of uncertainty where we don't know what tomorrow brings, we could get another order tomorrow. The governor could change it. The president could change it. It could change tomorrow. But I know one thing that's certain is that the love and the decision you make today to follow Christ will never change. He's never going to change. Maybe you've walked away from God and you're just clicking around the internet and landed here today and you say, I need that peace back in my life. Well, then pray this. All you have to pray is something like this. You just say, "Lord Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I confess it with my mouth. I believe it in my heart that you love me enough to ride into Jerusalem and die for me. And I receive that today. And thank you, Jesus, for my forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen." Well, let me tell you something. If you prayed that, or if you have any other prayer requests, we want to know. I know we say it a lot, but I'll say it again. You can send us a Facebook message. You can send us a message on the BC app. You can email us at info@bchurch.org. You can write a letter and put a stamp on it and send it to us in the mail. But we want to know what's going on in your life. And if you made that decision, we want to send you some more stuff you can read, more things you can do so you can keep going. And your love will grow as you get closer to God. And I can't wait to hear the stories of what God's doing in your life. But before we go, please let us know. Please let us know what's going on in your life. And one more thing, you heard it earlier on the announcements, and I'm asking you as a favor to me to do this. We're working on a special project for Easter, and we need you to grab your family, take a 5-second video of you and your family, whoever's in your household, whoever you're stuck with now, grab them. Put on some clothes, grab your phone, and take a selfie video of yourself saying, "Jesus is alive." And then we ask you to email it to us at info@bchurch.org. That's all you have to do. And when you do that, tune in next week on Easter Sunday morning, and we're going to have a special part of the service just for you. And you're going to help us by doing this and participate in the service. Again, as we close, I want to remind you, I love you. Melanie loves you. My family loves you. I love my church family. I love my city. I love my community. And I can't wait to see you again. But remember, God's going to bring us out of this better than ever before. We love you, and we'll see you next Sunday on Easter Sunday.